Good to see everybody this morning. Beautiful day of the Lord today. Just a couple of announcements that I do want to touch on. Last Sunday, we received a special offering for the Baptist Children's Village, and you notice in your bulletins, it was a record-setting offering for the Children's Village last Sunday. We don't promote that offering, but we have it every Mother's Day. The reason we don't promote it is because it's part of our church budget anyway. But you see that there was received $735 through the offering plate offering designated for the Children's Village last Sunday. And so I want to share that with you and thank you for your response. Also, pennies for missions, that's from the Wednesday night children group. And you see, they gave an extra $100, or maybe that $100 is included in that. I'm not too sure about that. But anyway, that group on Wednesday nights, they have this thing about bringing an offering every Wednesday night. And teachers keep a missions offering jar out there, and when they come in off of the vans, they head straight over there and deposit their offering. They accumulate over time a lot of money. They're an example for all of us. Moving on, a couple of things going on today. Since we didn't have church last Sunday night, deacons, we have our monthly deacon meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And then after that, we have our monthly business meeting at 6 o'clock, or a little after 6, we'll have a short devotion and then go into our monthly business meeting. Looks like Stone High graduation is going to be Friday. I want to plug that in, remembering that. I don't know that we have any graduating seniors this year. I'm not aware. If you know some, will let me know after the service this morning. Let's see. I don't usually recognize birthdays. But if I'm not mistaken, today is Miss Juanita's birthday, and she's right here in the fire, and we always pray for her. Happy birthday, Miss Juanita. Make it a good day. Not often that birthdays fall on Sunday, and especially a special lady like her. She's had it.
Sarah's is tomorrow.
Huh?
And Sarah's is tomorrow.
Yeah, well, she counts birthdays. Young enough to wear that, man. No? Okay. Well, happy birthday, Sarah, a day early. Hope you have a good one tomorrow as well. She's embarrassed. Moving right along. Any other announcements? Okay, let's go into our prayer time. I do have quite a few. I want to continue to remember Bill and Louise Barrett. Glad to have both of you back with us this morning. Continue to pray for them. Elwood and Bertha Taylor. Remember them. Earl and Rose back with us this morning as well. Continue to pray for them. And Miss Juanita, and also Miss Rita McGeehee. Miss Rita's sister's visiting with her. She's out this morning with her sister. Let her know we're praying for her. We have a list of seniors here. Dot Lyons, Liz Rowland, don't forget them. Also Charlie Odom. Charlie has multitude of physical ailments that... pray for him. Nancy Barrett, continue to pray for her. Corky Palmer. Also, where are we at here? Eudora Reynolds, Miss Clarice's sister. Corky is Miss Clarice's brother-in-law. And let me go down to some others here. Misha Meadows broke her foot. Keep praying for her. Brandy Bird also has an issue with one of her feet. Pray for her. Then we have the Brazil family. Mr. Brazil passed away this week. And the Connard family. The sad and surprising tragic death of Mr. Connard. Also pray for Elsie Daniels. She was taken to the hospital earlier this week, and I don't have an update on her. I'll try to have something by tonight, but pray for her. There was an issue there. Jean called ask that we remember her in our prayer. So do add her to your prayer list. Any others that you'd like to mention? We need to pray for our country, don't we? Lots of stuff going on. The Israel-Palestinian situation is really escalating to the point of a very tragic situation there. Especially pray for that. Pray for those, Israelis and Palestinians. Unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for a listening ear. You are always open and listening to our prayers. And Lord, we thank you for answered prayers, for answering our prayers so many times in so many ways. And dear Heavenly Father, we once again bring these. Leave them with you. Some are for healing. Some are for comforting. Some are for peace and solutions that all of us are not even aware of because unmentioned, unspoken requests. But God, you know them, and we bring them all to you. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders, the leaders of the world. We pray for those that are being tragically hurt by war today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a Savior who brings to us strength and peace. How fortunate and thankful we are now. In Christ Jesus' name it is we pray. Amen. Brother John, come and get us started off on whatever you've got planned, okay? Father, this morning we come to worship you, and for that purpose only we come. And as the choir has sang, you are worthy of honor and praise. You are worthy of our worship. Heavenly Father, we recognize that this morning, and we bow our hearts and our minds before you in worship, and to worship you because of who you are. We give you our time. Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning as we worship you, as we give you our hearts and our minds openly. In Christ Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 3. Hymn number 3. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Mm-hmm. 90, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Day by day, 718. Now, I will ask you to stand and remain standing for the offertory prayer, because we'll be collecting our offering immediately following this hymn, and then after the offertory, the choir will do special music, then Brother Charlie comes with the message.
I know cause for worship. us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to come and worship you. Just be with us now as we take up our offering. Just bless the gift and the giver. Just be with us and help us to use it in a way that would be pleasing to you. Be with our pastor as he stands before us. Just remind him of the things that you put on his heart and that you studied this week to present to us. Just be with us now as we go in and out before thee from day to day. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. These things ask in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Perfect introduction to the message this morning. If you will turn in your Bibles to Psalm 29, we'll read that in a moment and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Back to the Psalms this morning. One of the challenges about the Psalms as we deal with each one is that there are multiple messages in each one. And just that first reading, face value, you think, well, there's not a whole lot there, maybe this or that. And then the more you meditate on it, the more you realize, good gracious, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And such is the case this morning. And I've really been in a quandary of which way to go with this psalm this week. Wrestled with it and wrestled with it, and I'm still not too sure if I'm adequately prepared, but we'll go with what we have this morning. This Psalm 29, in my Bible, the heading is God's Mighty Power. Well, that's one of the messages. But then at the very end, the last verse, it says the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And so I've given it the title, Strength and Peace. This psalm has three stanzas to it, and each stanza carries its own message. And we'll look at those in a moment, one at a time. But pick up on that as we read through it. Follow in your Bibles, if you will, Psalm 29, verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Addressing who God is and giving him what deservingly is him, his. Then we go to the description of a severe thunderstorm. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and splits the forest and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. And now the last stanza as a conclusion to all of this. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, guide us, guide me, help me to say what you would have me to say and to unfold the truths of this psalm in a way that would be especially special to each one of us. And then Heavenly Father, cause us each one to go home and study further and meditate on this psalm and what it has to say personally to us, because that's what it is meant to be done. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a storm? I know you have. Severe thunderstorms are no stranger to this part of the country and across our country. The Holy Spirit of God inspired King David to write this psalm. He was no stranger to storms. As a young boy, remember, he watched his father's sheep out in the field, spent many a night, many a week, months, years by himself. And he saw many of these storms gather and come across, strike where he was, and then move on. Later on in life, he became a warrior and a king. These storms came just like they did when he was a lad watching the sheep. But yet there were other storms that entered his life. Those were the storms of life, other than the forces of nature. And on this occasion, it seems as though the Holy Spirit is inspiring him, and there is a storm gathering. Actually, it may have already gathered, may have came through and brought its fury of lightning and thunder and wind and had passed on. But this time, the storm meant more than just the forces of evil, forces of nature. He contemplated the storms of life, the forces of evil upon our lives. David had experienced many of those as well. When David went before Goliath, remember, King Saul, the army of Israel was there. The champion of the Philistines, Goliath, was daring anyone to come out and face him. And little lad David came to bring some food to his brothers who were in the army. They all made fun of him and said, "What are you doing here, you little twerp, you little rude lad?" David asked, "Who is this who insults our God? I'll go take him on." King Saul added insult to injury by taking off his armor and putting it on David, which only loaded him down. And he quickly got rid of that and got a few smooth stones in his sling. And when stood face to face with Goliath, and you know the story. As a result of that, King Saul brought him into the palace, made that his home. But it didn't take long, and King Saul became jealous and tried to kill David. Must have caused a lot of turmoil in the life of David over that incident, over that continuing thing that went on. And then later in David's life, his own son, Absalom, overthrew David from the throne, turned the people of Israel against him, and David had to leave the palace and flee for his life in the wilderness and hide out as a result of his own son. And then when that son was killed, it broke David's heart. We see a whole chapter there where David is crying, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son." Also, David's family was just an absolute mess. You remember, he had a son that raped one of David's daughters, and another son, and went and killed that son. David's life was filled with immorality as well. A lot of storms of life hit this man. He was well familiar with it. Just as familiar as he was with the storms of nature that came out of the sea and across the land as he was tending his father's sheep, or as he was out on the battlefield at night with his soldiers, or out in hiding when people were out to take his life. And so it seems to me that as we look at this psalm, we have to look at it with that background. In the storm, he sees the might of the Lord, his God. Who his God is. It begins, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones." Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. His Lord is due being ascribed, being given credit for his glory, his strength, and the result being our worship. The first line says, "O mighty ones." Theologians juggle back and forth of who the Mighty Ones is referring to. Some say it's the rulers of the world. The rulers of the nations may very well be. Some say that it's the heavenly courtyard of God. The cherubim and seraphim and the angels. And that seems to be fitting because as we read on down the last phrase of verse 9 says, and in his temple all cry glory. That's a picture of the heavenly palace where the Lord is on the throne. In fact, it says there in verse 9 and 10, verse 9, the Lord sits enthroned. Enthroned. And in his temple all cry glory. But what is David seeing and what are we seeing? Let's bring all of this into our own personal lives. We're all acquainted, familiar with the storms of nature, in this part of the country especially, in Hurricane Alley up through here. We're also very acquainted with the storms of life, as David was. Life is not a bed of roses. It's a continual storm after storm after storm. I remember asking my son one time, well, how's it going with your family? Well, right now everything's going good. So I'm almost afraid because I know something's what news gonna be happening. That seems to be part of life, doesn't it? But those first two verses, back to that, speak to the magnitude, to the glory of the Lord. And indeed, some title this psalm as a song of glory of the Lord. Glory who he is. Glory even in the storm. In the storms of life even. And in glory as he gives strength and peace to his people. Beginning in verse 3 and following then, we're given a picture of a raging storm. And we can take this as a storm of the forces of nature. Or we can take this as a picture of the storms of life because it fits both very nicely. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. One of the things we need to understand about the presentation of this storm is how the storms develop and how they move across the land of Israel. They form and develop over the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what he is seeing here. And as he tended his father's sheep, as well as through the rest of his life, he saw the thunder gathering over the mighty waters of the great sea. That's thunder. When storms come along here, we hear the distant thunder. Have a weather forecast. It's going to have a storm coming through tonight. First thing we hear here just very recently, about bedtime, you could hear the distant rumbling, knowing it was coming. And sometimes that's the scariest part of it all, anticipation of that. Know it's coming, not a matter of if, but when. So it is also storms of life. Sometimes there's a situation that is not as it ought to be. We know the storm's coming, not a matter of if, but when. Causes great fear at times. Moving on to verse 4 and 5, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. So he's seeing in the thunder and the lightning and the force of the storm, he's seeing the voice of the Lord. That voice of the Lord is said numerous times. The voice of the Lord. The Lord's in this. It's powerful. Majestic voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. All through the Old Testament, the cedars, the great cedar trees of Lebanon, were seen as a picture of strength. The Philistines and the other primitive, godless island worshipers, idol worshipers of David's time, saw gods in those trees, and they worshiped those trees. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people in this world still worship those trees, the gods they ascribe in those trees. Primitive tribes in Venezuela believe very much in the spirits of the trees. There are good trees, there are bad trees. Good spirits, bad spirits. And so as this psalm develops, the cedars of Lebanon are broken to pieces. If anybody wants to worship those things, those gods, know that the voice of the Lord tears that to pieces. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Everything that was created by the voice of the Lord. He simply spoke, and it took place. And nothing has changed. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's majestic. It breaks in pieces all other gods, including the powerful cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. Back to how the storms move across that land, developing in the Mediterranean Sea, coming across into the mainland, and then moving out over the desert where they eventually die out. And so as he is envisioning this storm, the storm tears up the cedars of Lebanon, but then moves out to the desert where the desert is shaken. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord twists the oak and strips the fair forests bare. Sound like a hurricane, doesn't it? Or a tornado. Strips the forests bare. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is safe in the path of the forces and the power of the Lord. And then in his temple, all cry glory. All cry glory to the Lord. We have just seen the power and the violence, the protection and the care of the Lord of glory, the Lord of strength. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. His holiness. We sang the hymn a minute ago, holy, holy, holy. In his holiness, worship the Lord, the splendor of his holiness. Being holy is something different. No other like him, nothing like him. It is he who spoke everything into existence. It is he that has the power equal to and beyond what we see in the storms of life, in the storms of nature. It is he also that brings strength in the storm. and peace, even in the worst of storms, as they come through our life, eventually coming to a conclusion, coming to an end, by the voice of the Lord. The last stanza. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. What that's saying to us and what that's telling us, regardless of how severe the storm is, always remember that the Lord is enthroned over it. God is still on his throne. We may tremble in fear by what we face, by what we are facing, by what we are in the middle of, but always understand that the Lord sits enthroned over it all as King forever and ever and ever and ever. That will not change. He does not change. Not only that, but as verse 11 tells us, the Lord gives strength to his people. No matter how difficult the storm, the Lord gives us strength. And that is the source of our strength in the Lord. We ought to not be ashamed. In fact, we ought always to run to our Lord and ask him for strength. Amen. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, strengthen me. This is beyond my ability to endure. I have no answers here. How many times I've said, this just makes no sense. Good friend of mine died when his backtrack fell over into a pond and trapped him in that machine. He drowned. No, this makes no sense. But the Lord gives strength. Gave strength to his widow, to his sons. Gave them strength that they had never experienced before in all of their lives. The Lord gives strength to his people. Not only that, but the Lord blesses his people with peace. Remember that passage of scripture in Philippians. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petitions, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, it says, by the way, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. David had this figured out. Almighty God, you deserve our worship. Let all the mighty ones, whoever they are, wherever they are, leaders of nations, heavenly beings, give glory and honor to the Lord and worship him. Give him what is due him. Worship him in the splendor of his holiness. Because even as we experience the forces of nature and the forces of life, the storms of life and the storms of nature, we must at the end, after it is all said and done, like all of those in his temple, cry, glory. because the Lord's enthroned forever as King, and He gives us strength and peace. There's another passage of Scripture. There are a lot of storms in the Bible, and I looked at a number of them, but this one particular one is fitting for this message and for this psalm, and that's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. You don't have to turn there. You may if you'd like to, but you'll remember it if you're familiar with the Scriptures. Jesus had been teaching for quite some time. And when evening came, it says, He said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." And so they left the crowd that was there. He and the disciples got into a boat. And while they were in the middle of the sea, it says that a furious storm, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. They were about to sink. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Sometimes we feel that way. "Lord, in the middle of this storm, I'm about to go under. Don't you care? Wake up, Lord. Don't you care?" So they woke Him up. "Don't you care, Lord?" Well, He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, "Be quiet, quiet, be still." And then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. And then He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then the disciples were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." That happened as an example to us. In the middle of the storm, it's normal for us to go to the Lord, say, "Lord, remember me. Don't you care?" But at some point, simply by the voice of the Lord, in this case, speaking to the sea and to the wind, and it became perfectly still and quiet. And then He asked, "Why were you so afraid? I'm with you. That song the choir sang a minute ago. When the lightning flashes and the thunder crashes, He's with us all the time. The writer of that song had to be in a storm when he wrote that, and had inspiration like David did here to write this song. The Lord, my Lord, is with me all the time. Why must I fear?" Yet, understandably, we're human. But the Lord gives us strength. He gives us strength to endure the storm, pass through it. Remember, this too shall pass. And in the end, there's quiet and peace, but strength while it's happening. Wonderful psalm. I hope you get a picture of it and the message of it, because it's so applicable to us, and we can use it again and again and again and again in our life. I can't tell you, and you probably can't tell me, how many storms you've been through. Storms in your life, let alone by the forces of nature. And afterwards, we have to say to ourselves, "Really, why was I so afraid? The Lord was with me, strengthened me, and now gives me peace." Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Psalm 29. Thank You for the message that it presents to us. Help us always to remember it. Heavenly Father, we pray for the closing verse, that we would continually find strength from you and enjoy and appreciate the peace that you give us that passes all understanding. In Christ Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Please stand and we'll sing a closing hymn. Brother John, what is that hymn number we're going to...
483.
If you need to make a decision public this morning, you come during this time. I'll just close with simply saying that. What's the name of that song?
The Savior is waiting.
The Savior is waiting.
The Savior is waiting.
All right, good. Let's sing a verse or two of that.